Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. If you missed the first hour, you want to catch the first hour. We're talking about hope in Detroit. The only hope is Jesus. Let's build on a right foundation. And we also talked about R.A. Dickey's amazing testimony back from the brink when they all said it was over. God had other plans in store.
Right.
Well, you know, we talked about R.A. Dickey and former pitcher for the New York Mets, National Cy Young Award winner last year, and now pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, who's in a multi-million dollar contract that he is, like, over, you know, thrilled about.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about some of the pain that he went through, some of the trials, some of the things that affected his life, where so many people said it was over for him. You know, it was absolutely over. And he's 9 years in the minor leagues. 9 years and struggling and doing all the things just to try to make it. Not having enough income to take care of his family, three children. And at one point, because he's trying to find validation, he's trying to make it, you know, trying to say, I have an identity. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about more about identity in this extra hour. But he tries to swim across the Missouri River. I mean, the Missouri River.
Yeah.
And winds up almost losing his life.
Yeah.
I mean, he was about...
It was over.
This is about to be done. It's over for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you can... I've heard stories like this, you know, where it's like, I just want to prove myself. I just want to make a name for myself. I just want to be known. And today, they did a study on young people and what young people want to be today more than anything, more than success, more than money, they want to be famous. Mm-hmm. They want to be famous. And you see these YouTube channels where they're just making videos for, I mean, the most silliest and outrageous things.
Crazy stuff.
Putting themselves in harm's way and danger, all types of these different little experiments. And just because they want to be recognized, they want to be known. Someone finds something uniquely good about me and let me know it. Please share it with me. Which goes to show you how powerful it is. It's just to say a kind word to somebody and to praise, especially a young person, for something good in their life. And, you know, sometimes parents can do it, and they often do it, but it's nothing like another person outside of the family, an aunt, an uncle, or friend,
mm-hmm.
that says something positive to another, you know, young person, child. Those words speak life. The power of life and death is in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And we can speak life over someone, or we can speak death.
Right.
And so he goes through these struggles, and it was almost done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And came to a point in his life where he was so rock bottom. He didn't even think he had it anymore. It was done. His baseball thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to give up on his career. Prior to that, by the way, he could have cashed in on $1 million policy on his arm. And as soon as the Texas Rangers pulled away that contract,
mm-hmm.
he could have cashed in on $1 million. But he would never, when you cash in, he can never try to play baseball again. I mean,
oh,
that was
wow.
it. I mean, take $1 million because your arm, you're saying your arm is bad. His arm was insured.
Oh, wow.
You can't take the money and then try out next year.
Right, right.
Or pursue the dream.
Mm.
He's a college guy at the time. He rejected the policy.
Wow.
And pursued the dream.
Wow.
16 years later,
wow,
he wins the National Cy Young Award. He goes through this journey. But before that, so you see him on the stage and you see him with a multi-million dollar contract today. You see him winning the most prestigious award in baseball for a pitcher. I mean, some people pitch their whole entire career and never even, you know, come close to winning one.
Yeah.
In their whole career. And this man makes it and wins one. But he comes to a point in his life and in his testimony where he was about to end it all. I mean, he was about to end it all because the shame was so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And That's real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember in, you know, many years ago, you know, I can relate in so many different areas.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we all can, right? I
mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, through different circumstances, but there was a time in my life where I went through a lot of shame and you know, I felt like I wanted to end it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 19 years old,
yeah,
you know, I'd had a stroke that had left the left side of my body completely paralyzed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is before you knew God, right?
Yeah, this is before I knew God. And, you know, I went through years of a lot of, just struggled with, you know, with shame and, you mm-hmm. know, and fear, you know, I didn't want to go out in public but I remember specifically at probably the point that most of it entered is after I had the stroke, my mother had taken me out to dinner
mm-hmm.
and, we were sitting in the middle of this restaurant and, you know, I'd ordered a steak and, you know, my arm didn't work. You know, it was paralyzed.
So what happened? You were paralyzed.
I was paralyzed.
From where?
From
the whole left side.
The whole left side of my body.
So the whole left side of your body, I guess that including your face?
Including my face, yeah.
So that one side of your face you had
no emotion.
Right,
I had to use a straw to drink or else the liquid would just pour out of my face, out of my mouth.
So your face was paralyzed, your arm was paralyzed, and mm-hmm. so that couldn't function.
Right. It just, yeah, it wouldn't function at all. And
was your talking impaired, by the way?
Yeah, somewhat, you know, because my mouth was, you know, so yeah, I would slur a lot mm-hmm. when I spoke. And so, you know, we were sitting in the middle of this restaurant and, you know, I'm 19 years old, you know, young man, you know, thought I was a strapping young lad,
right?
You know, and then I had to have my mother cut up my steak so that I could eat.
Wow.
In the middle of this restaurant. And I remember the feeling, just this huge flood came in of just embarrassment, shame, and you know, it just really, really hit me. It was really impacting me from that moment on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I mean, I even had to have her basically dress me. I mean,
right.
She had to button my shirts, my pants, tie my shoes. You know, because I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to come from, you know, being a young man, being able to do all these things for myself, mm-hmm. and then I'm back to this point in my life where you're basically a baby who's having to be taken care of,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's, you know, it's almost like going back on a bottle, you yeah. know, because you're having to use a straw to drink, mm-hmm. and you know, and you can't do for yourself the way that you could before.
Mm-hmm.
And so many years I struggled with that and was depressed. You know, many times I wanted to end it all, you know, so I can totally relate
mm-hmm.
to those feelings. And, but it was God that pulled me out of that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, cause I, you know, I got to the bottom. I mean, I got into drugs and all kind of things, just trying to take this pain away. And then, but you know, nothing I did worked.
Right.
You know, nothing helped.
Right.
And then,
even smoking your Bible.
Not even smoking my Bible. Yeah. You know, ran out of, you know, rolling papers and decided to, you know, hey, this paper's pretty thin in this book.
Oh goodness.
You know,
the white pages.
Yeah. There was no pages. So, pages. You know, I didn't smoke the,
wouldn't smoke the ink.
No, I didn't want to get poisoned by the ink.
Oh, poison. I thought you right, had to yeah. respect the word.
Yeah. Well, come a long way.
But think about it, man. You are a testament. We all are.
Yeah.
I mean, where we've come from,
mm-hmm.
bottomness, and that God will breathe life into what is dead. You know, and talk about rebuilding on God.
Oh, yeah.
And today, you know, your life is like completely different, nowhere near.
Yeah. Yeah. God brought me back from the bottom. You know, like you said, I had hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah.
That's so important. Hitting bottom is so important because so many people fight not to hit bottom, but to acknowledge the state that they're in. But you got to hit bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hit bottom. If you're broke, you're broke. You know what I'm saying? You're not in debt, you're broke. You're busted. You know what I'm saying? If you're out, you're out. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, you got to deal with reality so that you can actually begin to start moving in a different direction. And hopefully you're just going to cry out to God and let God do what you couldn't do on your own. That's the whole thing. If we could fix ourselves, we would.
Yeah.
And it's our continual trying to fix ourselves, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work, obviously. That should cause us to say, I need God in my life. I need God in my life. And I think about when Ari Dickey, he's about to swim across the Missouri River. And he's about to drown and, like, give it all up and surrender. His feet actually hit the bottom of the river. Speaking of bottom.
Imagine that, hitting bottom.
His feet actually hit the bottom of the river and he had this other chance. And it's kind of like a, an analogy for his life. He said, at that point, I realized that I'm going to live for the next 5 minutes of my life. I'm going to live in the moment. You know, I'm going to enjoy, you know, my life. And a lot of people miss so much of life, so much of wonderful moments that they could enjoy. They could enjoy. You can make a choice to enjoy them, but you're so depressed over what's going to happen next week. You're so depressed and taken down about these temporary, momentary troubles or fires at your feet. You're taken down by something that is not, you don't even know what's going to happen. It's just the thought that it could happen, and that alone is overwhelming you. That it's not allowing you to enjoy simple, beautiful moments that God has packed in a 24-hour period called the day. There's so many wonderful moments that could be seized, conversations that could be enjoyed, so many. But you can't get past them. So he hit bottom, and then he learned this new pitch called the knuckleball. And the thing about a knuckleball, he is the only Major League knuckleballer to win the National Cy Young Award. I think he's only like one of two. I think he may be just the only knuckleball pitcher right now presently in the major leagues. And so he had to reinvent himself as a ball player. And so the knuckleball is a pitch that you really don't throw at your knuckles. You kind of claw it and you sink your nails in the ball, your fingernails, and you release the ball. When you throw in a baseball, the way you get high velocity off of a baseball, call it a two-seam pitch where you get your fingers over, you know, over the two seams, or throwing a fastball, you putting your fingers across the seam. The whole idea is to get a lot of velocity and speed, and you want the ball to spin. You want the ball to spin fast so that it, you know, it'll go fast too. Well, the idea with a knuckleball is that there's no spin at all. There's no spin in this pitch, so it's kind of just floating.
Floating in air.
And the idea is that when you release it, it does. It has a mind of its own. It breaks all different patterns, and the idea is it throws a pitcher completely off because he sees this ball that's kind of just basically lobbed.
Throws who off?
The batter.
Okay.
Ball, normally, the batter's normally, you know, used to seeing balls that are thrown 90 to 100 miles an hour.
Right.
And here you got this ball that's coming in at 60, 70. He's thinking, I'm going to crush this thing. But then the ball all of a sudden dips to the left and it winds up striking out. It makes, you know, I think about those.
Makes you look like a fool, yeah. I'm sure.
I think about those old Popeye cartoons where the guy's trying to swing, you know, 10 times at the pitch, you know, and he's, and he misses, you know.
Right, right.
It's one of those type of pitches.
Yeah.
But the whole thing about the pitch is that once you release it, you have to surrender its outcome. You don't know.
You don't know what it's going to do.
You don't know what it's going to do. And the thing for a pitcher, you got to have good control. You have this little narrow strike zone. It's a box. Yeah. You got to get the ball in the box or it's going to be a ball. You're going to walk the guy or the guy's going to crush it and hit a home run. And so it takes a lot of faith just to release it and let it go and hope that it does the right thing. And it's a lot like a life. And who would have thought that God would have used a man that was, you know, going all over the place and gives him a pitch. And because he cries out to God, invites God into his life, you know, the Lord heals him, saves him, and uses a ball. A ball's an analogy only for his life, but now preaching to the world that all you got to do is surrender your life to Jesus. All you got to do is throw your life. Don't worry about the outcome. How is it going to look? What people are going to think about you? All the different things that you get caught up with that mean nothing. When it's all said and done, when it's all over at the end of your life, let me tell you something. We have a lot of people, young people listen to us on VFN radio, all different ages and all different backgrounds. But if you're a young person today, listen, you're never going to see your high school friends ever again, more than likely. Stop living for these young people that we call friends or, you know, older folks. This is a good advice for you too. Live for Jesus. Surrender your life. Surrender surrender it all. Bring it to the point where you say, you know, God, I'm just going to stop striving and stop planning and stop trying to fix myself up. And I'm just going to give you my life and whatever life that I have, whatever, however way this thing comes on out, I'm going to choose to enjoy it. And I'm going to allow you to heal me, restore me. And guess what? Hopefully one day use me. We want to encourage you today that just like R.A. Dickey, Chris, and listen, wear your scars as medals. Wear your scars as medals. Allow God to use what happened in your past so that he can heal you, one, and then two, so that you can help others. Listen, if you're hurting today, there's nothing that you have gone through, nothing that you're presently going through that Jesus cannot bring you back from. There is always, always hope in God. You just got to reach out to him.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Well, everyone just sat down for dinner and your cell phone rings. I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And Jim Daly spoke with author and marketing expert Lewis Upkins about how to avoid that cell phone and the importance of being present and undistracted with your family.
One of the things that Gene and I do, we don't do electronics at the dinner table.
Absolutely.
I mean, just as a rule of thumb. And parents can do some things here. Set some boundaries. This is the rule of engagement here in the house. We're going to, you have time to do that, but these certain times you're not going to be allowed to do that. Now, they're going to fight you on it.
But it's a simple courtesy. I mean, you right. never walk into a meeting with your cell phone and tweeting and checking emails if you were engaged with a customer. So the same thing applies. I think we just have to set that expectation.
Hear more from our guests today on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour, there's that break, you go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring. During that intro, when it's coming down, all of our VFN radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I got to wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. Yeah, you can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or in the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central, the weekend marathon.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. We're talking about R.A. Dickey coming back from the brink. And Chris was sharing, too, about some of the struggles and challenges he had before he came to the Lord when he was a strapping young lad, as he said. And
so what are you now?
Well, let's not even go there. But God healed Chris.
Yes.
God healed Chris. Chris is no longer paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And he has full functioning of everything in his body. Mm-hmm. He can drink with a straw now. He
without a straw.
Without a straw. Cut his own meat.
Cut my own meat. Butt my own buttons.
There you go.
Run so a marathon.
Well.
Now you're going over. But God is good.
If I was the in shape, I could.
The point here is God is good.
Right.
And God touched him. And God healed him. And listen, if God can do it for Chris and R.A. Dickey, let me tell you, he can do it for you. Well, you know, in the outro, we do want to share with you a segment that we shared some time ago on VFN Radio, Rethinking Church. And it's so important that we go back to the original intent of the church and rethink. Think again. And in this segment, we talk about how It's not us and them. It's just us. It's just us. It's not about them, us, those. It's all about us, the church. I want you to listen up and be encouraged.
We know rethinking church. You know, it's always important, and this is a conversation that we're having. You know, VFM Radio. It's just one conversation that about. You know, what God's been laying on our heart to be able to encourage you, to get you to start thinking outside the box. Thinking outside the box. And so we call this the original tenet of the church, a rethinking church. Mm-hmm. We want to begin to think, not just one word, rethinking, re and then thinking. What a concept. Let's think. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, it's because my father did it. And, mm-hmm. and then you talk to his father, said, why are you doing it? He says, because my mother did it.
Right.
Does anybody know why you're doing it? I mean, is there any? And go back to the word. If only 19% of the church is reading the Bible, the thing is that we're doing things for many, many reasons, but God is not the reason for a lot of it then, if we're outside of his word, maybe philosophies or traditions or something of that nature. What I want to talk about is, in regards to rethinking church, is there is no us and them. There is no us and them. There's just us. Let me say that again. There is no us and them. You hear people quite often when they're talking about, and we try to formulate what we're saying in a way that this is our driving force and understanding that we are for the church.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not for what people are calling the church, buildings, organizations. And all. We're for the people that are the church, believers. We're for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be. And it's just us. There is no us and them. There's just us. And, you know, some good examples, understanding that when you think about Joshua, when Joshua was facing a battle and the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on their side? And the angel says, neither. He's on God's side.
Right.
And there's only one church. When you think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, he says, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, which is a journey we all have to go on.
Right.
Completely humble and gentle. Be patient. bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity, keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope when we were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And in all. Listen, there's only one. That's why, you know, think about this. Why in the world would a, when you think about one human body, why would a hand speak against an arm? Why would an eye speak mm-hmm. against an ear? Why would a foot speak against a leg?
Right.
Kind of ridiculous, because it's the same body. Although it's we're right. many parts, we're one body. But you have to understand, if there's cancer in the body and you're speaking against the cancer, it's the body gone crazy. Mm-hmm. It's a cell doing its own thing.
Right.
It's a rapid multiplication of what's normally supposed to happen at the same rhythm of every other cell. It's actually multiplying faster. Hence, you got a growth, you got a tumor or something of that nature. And so speaking about what's wrong in the body is not speaking against the body.
Mm-hmm.
And we're for the church. We're for you. We're for Jesus. If you're for Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you're a believer, you can't be for Jesus and against the church, because it's his body.
Right.
It's his body. And it's so important to understand that. So when you think about the church, think about people. And you think about three aspects of how the church is addressed. There's the world church, which is the entire body of the church, and the universal church, which is everything, everybody that ever was, is, and will be, that became Christians, who are Christians and who will be Christians, Christ followers. So there's the universal church. Then there's the regional church. The regional church is like when you hear them talk about, and writing the Bible, they talk about the church of Ephesus, the church of New York, the church of Smyrna, the church of Georgia, the church of America.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that because it's not buildings, it's not organizations, it's not denominations, it's a people. And then you can talk about the local church, which are the same universal church, just different pieces of the church, different pieces of it. And so understanding that if we start defining the church as anything other than what it is, everything gets confusing, and all of a sudden somebody starts thinking that you're talking against the church, and you're for the church. Mm-hmm. You know, that we laid on our lives for the church, and you should lay down your lives for the church,
mm-hmm.
but not for an organization,
right?
Not for some man's philosophies, and not for some traditions, but just for the body, for the people, for the people. And so understanding that, then when we're rethinking church, begin to think about church as people. Begin to think about it as the body of Christ. Human beings who've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of their life. Are we in many different positions in the body? Yeah, we got hands and feet and eyes, and we have different functions, but together we're one body. And God gives gifts to that one body to be able to function in the context of that. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about the gifts. And the reason why he gives the gifts is not that any part's any better than any other part. It's just for a particular function that happens in the church. He talks about it in Ephesians 4:11. It says, it was he, which is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. To what? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body, that's just one, the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. And he says that each of us should be able to do this with Jesus Christ being the head, with each part joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, that we grow when we build ourselves up in love as each part does our work.
Right.
So there's a function that we have in the body. There's something that we're called to do. And so you cannot not address the cancer. If you identify yourself by your dis-ease, what you're being attacked with, instead of identifying yourself, or you identify yourself as, you know, I'm a, and you name whatever name that you gave yourself
mm-hmm.
and your organization, and there's people that will lay down their lives for the organization.
Right.
And that's just a man's it's a good idea. It could be a good idea or a bad idea, but it is an idea that somebody came up with. Because when you look at the Word of God talks about us as a universal church,
mm-hmm.
A, and all of us, and then segments of us, which would be regional. Then you have the local church. When Paul went from city to city and town to town, he was not going to different churches. He was going to different parts of the church. And when people would make their Jesus the Lord of their life, a new church would birth around that whole situation.
All right.
And which means a gathering. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And if Jesus is in the midst, if Jesus is in you and you're a believer and Jesus is ruling in your midst, even with two of you, then who's to add to that? How can you add to that? And so it's so important. It's so important that when we're talking about what we're saying from VFN Radio and VFNT, we're talking to you to encourage you as the church.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you've gone astray and you once were walking with the Lord, I want you to know that God loves you and God's got a plan for you. We're talking to you too. We're hoping to encourage you to come back to the universal church, maybe in your region, maybe in a local expression of the church, to bring you hope. And those that maybe you're being drawn to God, you don't know God, you never mm-hmm. knew him, but now you're feeling this drawing to God. And that we're talking to you to join the church, which is the body of Christ. And so we're not trying to, and this is the big thing, is that though that seeing it the wrong way, people think that they're building their kingdoms,
mm-hmm.
the kingdoms of man versus the kingdoms of God, with their own philosophies and their own concepts and traditions, versus there's only one kingdom in regards to the church. It's the kingdom of God, of which Jesus is king over.
Right.
And we're supposed to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things and stuff are added to us. And understanding that hey, to be for the church is to be for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But to not mention the very thing that's hurting the church is to be disobedient to God and to be a partner with one who destroys.
Right.
If you see what's going on and you see a part of the church going to the slaughter, they're making decisions, they're not introducing people to the voice of God, and they're totally vulnerable to the wolves devouring them. And you know this, and you see this, mm-hmm. and you know plainly that, you know, that God's going to hold you accountable for not saying something. And you, if you don't say anything about it, and we're going to talk about this in a few moments, you have a fear of man versus a fear of God. Because the fear of God, you're going to tell them. You're going to let them, hey, listen, mm-hmm. listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. You're going to have to spend some time with God. And so when you're rethinking church, I want you to think about this, that to be in competition with any part of the church is like a hand to be in competition with the eye, or the eye to be mm-hmm. in competition with the ear, or the foot to be in competition with the leg. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And if you've built your value and your sustention of life based on what you're getting from the body of Christ instead of on Christ himself, then you're going to try to sustain something that's artificially being sustained for your own personal benefit instead of letting God do whatever he's going to do with it.
Right.
We're called a vine. We go wherever the sun gives light, wherever God, that's what we do. We have family. God gives these gifts, but it's the gifts are to be able to train God's people for works of service. So every one of us are called to be the church, the body of Christ. And so I wanted to encourage you in rethinking the church, that when you look at a spirit of competition, which is, when you think of it, like it really is, I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Right.
It's like, it's embarrassing. What are you doing? Secondly, when you look at selfish ambition in the context of the church, you're being selfish against it's like the hand being selfish. If the hand gets selfish from the arm might say, hey, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah.
And then the hand dies. If the heart gets selfish and say, hey, I feel like I'm more important than the body, then the whole body dies. Selfish ambition is ridiculous when you think about your body parts and how they function in the anatomy of your body. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how ridiculous it really is in the body of Christ. And so understand this then, that means if the spirit of competition and ambition divides, then it will divide the body of Christ. And just like in the natural sense, it'll bring death to a part of your body. We can end up hurting or harming the body of Christ when you think in the area of selfish ambition or competition. It's one, we need to get together.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other, but we need followers of Jesus Christ. We need to follow Jesus, not men. And we follow Jesus, we follow the Lord. We're actually following what we have in common is we come together, we say amen, because we're hearing the same voice, the same Lord, the same Spirit. That's what amen means. It doesn't mean, hey, that's a good song or that's a good word. It means that, hey, I'm in agreement. I bears witness with me. I've been spending time with God. I abide with God and he speaks to me and I heard the very same thing. It bears witness with my mm-hmm. spirit. Hence, we say, amen. So therefore, anyone or anything who inspires you to follow, be a fellow believer, to serve and trust the Lord and to obey the Lord should be celebrated. We should celebrate that, whether it was a song, whether it's a radio program, whether it's a television broadcast, no matter what it is, if it inspired you. At the same time, this also means that anything that discourages you, anything that, that divides you, anything that causes you to feel like us and them versus like, oh, you know, this is, I got to get along with my hand because I need my hand, even though my hand's acting up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always thinking about, Lord, help me get along with my hand.
Right.
Help me get along with my eye. Doesn't mean that your eye wants to get along with you, but you have to be open to the probability that if your hand repents, that you're going to get along with it because
mm-hmm.
we need each other. It doesn't mean that it will happen, but on your side of history, for you to be on the right side of the equation, when you're rethinking church, understand that we cannot have an us and them mentality. It's just us. It's the universal church spoken of regionally and often we see locally in the expression, we are not an organization, we're an organism. And so an organism is a living body, if you would. And so what we do at VFM Radio, we're here to encourage the body of Christ, the church, to inspire you. We're not here to inspire organizations. We're here to talk to you, the believer, who wants to know God more and who wants to hear his voice and who wants to know when you go to sleep tonight that God's going to speak to you, that he guides you and leads you as a shepherd. We are for you. We are so for you that we fought many fights against men's religions and traditions just to be here to tell you that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life and that you can survive difficult times. You can survive and be fruitful in your life. You can have a marriage and family by walking with God. So VFN TV and the Data Radio program is here. As it's a ministry of Greg Lancaster Ministries, and it's here specifically for that, to encourage you, to let you know about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to inspire you and say, you know what? I can do this thing today. To give you the hope to say, you know what? I'm going to try to get along with my hand today. I'm going to try to get along with the parts of the body of Christ that are not trying to get along with me. And I'm going to go ahead and accept the fact that right now they don't want to, but if they do, I'm wide open to that getting along because it's important for us, for our Father, to see his children getting along under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So rethinking church. The original tenet of the church, we're the body of Christ. Jesus is the firstborn from amongst us. Not only is he our Lord and Savior and King, but he is the firstborn of the church. He's the head of the church, and it's his body. So understanding that means this, that for us to get along is for Jesus' body to function as it was designed to do. Yeah, the enemy's sowing things continually, but we fight against that. We fight against those mindsets and the accusations of the enemy, and we do our best to give honor to each part as it does its work.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, I don't shop. I don't shop. I'm blessed enough to have a wife.
I've seen you shop.
Yeah, you're right. It's amazing.
Go with a list.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. But I went to go. We got this wonderful pollen blowing around right now. Trees are going like, yes, no, no, yes, no, no, yes, yes. They don't even know what to do, you know. So I'm having this congestion. So I stopped by a CVS drugstore to be able to buy some Mucinex, like this kind of thing that's a decongestion and that kind of thing. And I thought, I'm just going to run in there and get some decongestion, like sinus medicine, I guess you would call it. And so I go down this drug. I think a lot of drugs all the way down the aisle. You can from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, they got a lotion, a pill, or something for it. But when I got to this particular medicine, it just was a piece of cardboard. It was a piece of cardboard. They don't even put the medicine on the shelf. I'm like, what? You know, so I had to read the cardboards.
Oh,
and then I took the piece of cardboard, and I had to read, where do you go with this piece of cardboard? And you don't go to the cashier. You have to go back to the drug counter.
The
pharmacist in the back. And I go back, and I said, do you have any of these? And they're like, looking like,
why do you want this?
Yeah, well, you know, kind of watching my eye gate, you know, that kind of thing, and looking. I'm like, I got congestion. I got congestion. And he looks at me, he says, we don't have the 12, we have the 24. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, it was just like I was doing a, you know, coming from my law enforcement days, I felt like I was undercover, you know?
Yeah, right.
And finally he pulls it out and he says, you know, charges me $1 million for it. And and you look down this little credit card thing that you use a credit or a check card or whatever for. And he says, you have to read this statement. And I had to read a legal statement from the law that said that I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to go to jail. I'm like, I'm getting nervous. I don't know if I should get this Mucinex or not. You know, what have we gotten into? I'm thinking like, this could just blow my whole ministry here. They got cameras on me. I'm buying Mucinex, you know, and they'll never believe that I just have congestion, you know? And I'm sweating. And of course, you know me, I'm talking out loud. Are you serious? You know? I feel like I'm breaking a law here. I said, can I use your name? I said, is this real? Can I take a picture of it? Like John would do. And then I had to sign it. I had to sign that I read the statement and that I would go to jail if I misuse my Mucinex, the congestion medicine. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was done, but after that I had to pay for it. And I felt so like, I got to watch this stuff. I got to go buy me a safe or something, you know what I'm saying? And put this stuff in a safe. I mean, what if somebody breaks into my house and takes it? And they go, like, you had this drug in your house. And it's like, and I said, what in the world does somebody do with sinus medicine? At my age, it just makes me irritable when I take it. You know? What would you do? And he said, they make crystal meth with it.
Oh, wow.
They make crystal meth with antihistamines and stuff that's in that particular medication. I'm thinking, my God.
Amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Get a job. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing?
Mess you up.
And besides,
man,
one pack of it costs $25. I mean, I can imagine how much this crystal meth costs. I'm like, maybe it's cheaper.
Wow.
I walked out of there thinking, like, my goodness, I just felt like I came from a police state. I felt like I just came from a police state. But America is changing as we know it. So I just want to encourage you, when you do go to get some medication like sinus meds, be prepared to sign your life away. And yes, you can be arrested for it.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. We're talking about rethinking church. It's not us and them. Listen, it's all about us. And as the body of Christ, we are going to need to stick together. We're going to need to walk as one body and fulfill what God has called us to do. I mean, Jesus prayed, may they be one.
Right.
And it's a prayer that we still need to see answered. But when we come together, there is the place of the commanded blessing that we talk about in Psalms. It's a place of the commanded blessing, and it's all about the entire body. It's not about one toe, one arm, one leg, one, or, you know, Every member matters. Every joint supplies. And when the church functions as one family, one spiritual army, if you will, whole, together, in unity, we will then really, truly fulfill the great commission that God's called us to fulfill. Mm-hmm. But we got to do it together. We got to be on the same page. Well, you know, I was writing in Mark, and you think about some of the things about Jesus that made him so remarkably amazing. Mm-hmm. So many. And you see that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they share so many accounts of Jesus and what he did, how he lived his life, ministry, how he ministered to so many people. And Jesus today is a wonderful and great example for us. I mean, if you're ever in doubt, if you're ever in doubt, just follow what Jesus did. Just do what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus will never, ever lead you in the wrong way. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says this, that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. One thing about Jesus is that he prayed.
Oh, yeah.
He just didn't talk about it. Listen, he did it. He did it. There's just in that one verse of scripture, there's three things that we are going to come to know. One is that Jesus, in fact, did pray. Mm-hmm. He got up early, number two, early in the morning to do so. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, he did it in a solitary place. He did it in a place by himself, alone, free from distractions. Mm-hmm. I just think about that concept that if Jesus prayed, if Jesus had to pray, I think that it would be a good idea for us to incorporate it in our lives.
Yeah. You think?
I mean, if Jesus prayed, Jesus. And so he got up early, and he went to a lonely, solitary place. See, when you pray and you spend time with the Lord, you want to do it in private. You want to do it in a place that's free from distraction, free from your phone, any other electrical device, or from people that could interrupt. But at the time that is consecrated, if you will, it's set apart. It's a time where you can meet with God and pray and seek him out. And so Jesus is doing this with the Father, and he does it early. Listen, there's nothing like giving God your first part of the day. There's nothing like giving God the tithe of your day. Mm-hmm. Think of all the words there was a tracker that you speak in a day, of all the conversation, of all the meetings, of all the things that interactions that you have just in one day. Wouldn't it be the most important interaction of the day be your interaction with God, your communion, your fellowship of praying, talking to him and allowing him to speak back to you, hearing his voice? Well, in verse 36, Simon said, the word of God says that Simon and his companions went to look for him, Jesus. And when they found him, they exclaimed, it means they shouted, "Everyone is looking for you." Mm. Everyone's looking for, like, where are you? Are you praying again? Everyone is looking for you. In verse 38, Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogue and driving out demons. Let me tell you something. You need to know the difference between a good thing and a God thing. Mm. And oftentimes, how you know what's a good thing or a God thing is by the time that you spend in prayer and the time that you spend speaking to the Father and the time where you're in communion and God reveals and opens himself up to you and gives you the marching orders of your day. I mean, here the disciples came in and they were like, where are you? Don't you know that we are here in Jerusalem? Wherever they were, We are here and the people are waiting. And to the natural eye looking at it, you would say, yeah, this is a good thing. People want to hear. They want Jesus. Hey, listen, you know, head on out there. They're already there. And Jesus says, let's go to a nearby village. Didn't even respond to him.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you got to know if what you're doing is a God thing or a good thing. And the only way you're going to know, because it looks so right, is if you spend time with the Lord. So many people today are caught up in good things that God didn't necessarily call them to do. They're not bad things,
mm-hmm.
but they just may not be a God thing for them to do at that moment. Now, it could be a God thing for somebody else to do,
right?
But you got to know what God's called you to do. You got to know what God is wanting from you today. Because listen, all we have is today.
That's right.
All we have is this moment. Yesterday's over with and it's done and we can't fix what happened yesterday. It's finished. To me, that's just a sobering thought when you go back and review the last 24 hours and you think, well, I hope it did well because it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can live your best life today, right now. Why spend another minute wallowing in what you have? Today, you can decide that I'm going to make the best of what is ahead of me, of what I'm going through. And when you spend time with God in prayer, and all that is fellowship, God begins to open himself up. But you got to open yourself up. You got to put yourself in a position where you can hear God in quiet and solitude so that he can begin to speak to you. You know, it's in that quiet place of laying your heart open before God where you can really truly begin to have a dialogue. It's in the quiet place. It's in the secret place. It's in the place free from distractions, free from concerns. And it's a place where you can quiet yourself down. And I can remember early on in my walk with the Lord, I had all, even when I woke up in the morning, it just had a continual busyness or an anxiousness from maybe the days before, the things around my mind. And even when I tried to abide or spend time with the Lord, I couldn't even hear or read. I couldn't even understand what I was reading because I had these other thoughts operating in the background of my computer here, my brain.
Right.
It's like, I'm trying to read the Bible here. Can you stop? Can the noise stop here? I'm trying to pray. You know, it's okay to set yourself up and to find that set location. It could be a chair in your house, a certain part of the house. It's to create the right environment. You don't want to abide or spend time with the Lord where someone's watching TV. You're not going to hear God. Quiet. And then be still. It's okay to start off and not say anything. It's okay. Quiet your soul down. Quiet your mind down where you can begin to hear God and listen and open yourself up so that you can have a dialogue where he can speak direction, he can speak purpose, desire. But what's going to happen that moment of that day? You look back at all the things that could happen within a 24-hour period of time, and you want to say, oh my goodness, thank God I started the day with prayer. We're talking to Jesus about it. But oftentimes when we spend time with God, he wants to impart some things to us. And some of the things he wants to impart to us is hope, love, and joy. You know, the word hope is the feeling, that it's defined as the feeling that what is wanted. It's a feeling that you're going to get it, that it can actually happen or it can be had. Events that can actually turn out for the best. That's what hope is. I mean, it's a sensation. It's a feeling that what you want to happen can actually happen. And hope leads to faith. He wants to impart a hope to you. He wants to impart faith to you for that day. And when you have that, you have a better outlook of what's going on. You have a better outlook of what you can embrace. The second thing, he wants to impart to you love. Love reminds us how much God loves us. He wants to remind us how much he cares for us. He wants to remind us that the only way we can truly touch and impact people is by loving them. And by loving them means to think about them more than we think about ourselves. It's like you love somebody.
Right.
Put others first. And as you spend time with him, he wants to encourage you and give you some joy. And joy is a great emotion that we feel when we're just delighted that something exceptionally good has happened. Listen, when you spend time with Jesus and you pray and you dialogue, your faith gets stirred. You're reminded of how much he deeply loves you and loves others. And he imparts to you a joy. Let me tell you, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not just happiness. I mean, happiness is something that just happens, and that's cool. But joy is a midst of having great delight in the midst of some of the most darkest moments of your life and some of the most troubling trials that you'll face. God can give you a joy that you can't even fathom. How can I be joyful in a time like this? Because you know that if God be for you, who can be against you?
Mm-hmm.
We want to encourage you today that, listen, you want to encounter with God. You want to have encounters that totally, totally change your life forever. And those encounters don't happen in public. You know, teachings are wonderful. Gatherings are wonderful. Fellowshipping with other believers, wonderful. Discipleship, wonderful. And all of those are done with other people, and you learn, and as iron sharpens iron, so one brother, one sister sharpens another. But there's a fellowship. There's a fellowship that's only designed for one-on-one. There's a fellowship with God. There's an encounter to happen. There's an intimacy in prayer that will literally change your life, your walk, your ministry forever. And Jesus did this every day. He sought the Father early in a solitary place. And before he went out to do any ministry, he wanted to know what the Father was doing. Because remember, he only did what he saw his Father doing. I want to encourage you today, make prayer, make communion and fellowship and intimacy with God a priority of your day, of all the conversations, of all the meetings that you have in one day, of all the encounters. Make the most powerful encounter of your day be the one with God.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Yeah.